This is Leave Your Mark. I am Vince Cortez, and today's guest is Michael Wardian. He is the ultra marathon runner poster boy from a career of running and participating in hundreds of races all over the world. Michael is best known for his 3,234-mile run across the United States, raising money for clean drinking water, making him one of fewer than 400 people who are known to have crossed over America by foot. He is our guest here today. Mikey, thank you for coming by.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me.
Hi there, and welcome. Now it's time for America's favorite podcast, Leave Your Mark, with your host, Vince Cortez. If it's fly, loose fit it, it's Cortez. If freezing, chub is in it, it's Cortez. Leave Your Mark is about inspiring the world, one guest at a time. Pass the word from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh, from urban to suburb, it's Cortez, you heard? And here is our host, Vince Cortez.
This is great because you have quite a resume of what you've accomplished with your running, and you have a lot of other things that are going on in your life besides running, but the running is such a huge resume that it kind of overshadows some of your other things that you've been pretty good at accomplishing as well. So what I like to do is share with our audience and get to know a little bit more about your background and where you were from and what life was like when you're a little fella. So you're born in Morgantown in West Virginia, and then you are raised in Oakton, Virginia. Mom, Vivian, she's a marketing person and a homemaker. And your father, Dick, is in insurance sales, and you're the oldest of three kids. You got a younger brother, Matthew, and a younger sister, Marielle. You guys were active in traveling and participating in sports events and Jeopardy. Was Jeopardy just your favorite, or was that a family favorite? Because that seems to be an American cultural type television show.
Yeah, that was definitely a family favorite. It was a every night after dinner type activity. So it was fun to play against my parents, who obviously knew a bunch more trivia than
that was my next question. Who was the one that usually won?
I'd say my mom usually did really well. My dad was usually out at an appointment or something, so it'd be like kind of my mom versus my brother, sister, and I. And then I think quickly, our sister's, you know, quite smart, Marielle, and I think quite quickly she started to be the one to beat. So I'd say, yeah, she was probably one of the best at Jeopardy, that if I remember correctly.
That's one of those ones I think a lot of American families have. What kind of sporting events were you guys traveling to?
It was mostly lacrosse. So I was really focused on lacrosse. So I played back in the day when I was growing up, you know, 25 years ago or so, or even more. There was lacrosse in the spring, and then, you know, people played something else. But I was one of the first people to kind of go full time lacrosse. So I would play men's league in the fall, so playing against you know, people over 18 when I was like 15 or 16, and then in the winter I would play indoor box lacrosse, so 5-on-5, which really got you quite good at protecting the ball, because there's not as much room to run away from people, so you're kind of all just jammed in together, and you really have to take care of the ball and be super aware of your body position, or else you get checked into the boards and whatnot. So you know, you quickly become better the more that you play, and
that's
really
also
focused
on
that.
Increases the speed of the game.
Everything
happens quicker. So now you go to high school at Oakton Cougars in Fairfax County, Virginia. Did you participate in any of the sports there or activities?
Yeah, so I played lacrosse there as a freshman. I got to play JV and played a couple games up on varsity. My sophomore year, I played starting varsity. And then by the end of our run at Oakton, we won the state championship. So it was a pretty incredible high school career. Got to set a lot of records I've since been broken like many things, but it was one of those things where I worked really hard, and it was cool to kind of get to see that
Yeah,
dedication pay off.
that's awesome. Just on a high school level, when you're young like that, to have that level of accomplishment is really, you take that with you the rest of your life. And what it
Yeah, for
took to
sure.
succeed, there's probably things within your training and your running you reflect back to at that window. So I want to touch on a couple of these other activities now. You got on here, you like running, beekeeping, chess, pickleball, CrossFit, cars and trucks, your fantasy football fan, and charity work. What kind of charity work were you doing?
So I've been lucky. I've gotten involved with a couple different charities over the course of the years. One that I did the big project last year, where I ran across the country, that was for World Vision USA, and that's to bring clean drinking water to people all around the world. So World Vision is the largest non-governmental provider of clean water in the world, and what's really impactful is they are able to do that with like $50. So $50 changes one person's life. So that's something that is really tangible. So the goal of last year was to raise $100,000, and that meant we got to change over 2,000 people's lives. So just incredible what they do. I've also worked with St. Jude Hospital over the years. I just think what they do is incredible for kids and families. And then that's basically where I've done a
The
lot of the
charity now,
charity.
is
Yeah.
that ch was the charity work with the water, was that what sparked the idea then to do your ultra marathon later on across the United States?
No, actually, I was planning to do the run, and then I was just looking for who I could partner with to help raise money. So I wanted to do the run anyhow for myself, but I figured what better way to have an impact than to raise money for a different charity. And so I was lucky that World Vision also does these kind of running adventures to help raise awareness and to raise money for clean water projects. And so it was just a perfect
Perfect
partnership. And
match.
then I work in humanitarian food aid relief. And so one of the PVOs, or private voluntary relief organizations, that we work with is World Vision. So I've seen them in that capacity. So I thought it'd be cool to kind of tie my two worlds together, like the international shipping and the partners that I have in that, with my passion and dedication for running. And if I could marry those, I thought that would be a really cool way to, raise a lot of money for a lot of people and do a lot of good.
That's wise of you to think of how to blend them. So you go after high school to Michigan State University, and you are an international relations major graduate, and you play some lacrosse up there at D1. But you mentioned that you had more than one degree. What were the other degrees that you have besides your international relations?
Oh no, I did not. If I did, I misspoke. But no, I just have the international relations degree. I'd say the only other degree I got at Michigan State was like partying degree. So like that was like from my fraternity house at Pi Kappa Alpha. Like yeah, that was that, that those are the two degrees I basically
Oh,
got at
okay.
Michigan
All right.
State.
So I
Yeah.
misunderstood you. All right. So then you come out and you get a job here, and it's just sort of rare in the modern era. You're at the same job all these years later at Potomac Maritime LLC. You were mentioning that you started from the bottom. So share with me what the experience was like getting in there all the way to where you stand now.
Yeah, it was incredible. I felt really fortunate. I was able to become I was actually an intern at Potomac Maritime while I was in high school, and then my first year of college that summer I came back and worked in the photocopy room, basically just making big government contract copies the entire summer. And I thought, wow, this looks like a really interesting profession. Those guys seem like that's a pretty cool job. And when I got done with Michigan State, I was always internationally inclined, as far as like I love to travel, and I thought it'd be interesting to work with people all over the world. And So I asked if they had a job, and they said, yeah, if you want to, you know, come in and, you know, be an intern, basically, then, you know, we have a place for you. And so I did, and continually tried to learn the business, got a chance to see what it's like, you know, starting at the bottom. And I just continued to grind and work my way up. And now I'm one of the partners of the company. I mean, it took 25 years, but I have that kind of, you know, stick with itness, I guess.
Commitment, yeah, for sure.
Connect with us on LinkedIn. Be our friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Whether jumping out the MP or jumping on the app. You are listening to Vince Cortez. We just want you to leave your mark.
Now, what I like about this is you actually have a paralleled career with your ultra marathons and your professional running. So share with me, I mean, obviously they support what it is you're doing because you've been doing both of them for such a long time. How did you mesh those two together?
Yeah, that was really interesting. It was a similar story. Like I just wanted to run the Boston Marathon once, was able to qualify at my first marathon at the Marine Corps Marathon. Went to Boston and got absolutely hooked. I loved the feeling of the crowd. I loved the sense of accomplishment I got from crossing the finish line. And I just wanted to have that feeling as much as I could. And so, you know, I started trying to find ways to get better. So reading everything I could find, finding training partners. I was lucky. I wanted to join like one of the local running teams, and I wasn't fast enough when I first approached them about being on the team. And I didn't have a running background. So they basically said, you can be in our training group. And I started out in like the, you know, second to third slowest group. And within a couple months, I was in the first group running with the guys on the team, and was able to follow a couple of those guys to a race called the Wawa 10 miler. Ended up beating a couple guys on the team, and they offered me a place on the team after that event. And that was kind of my first, you know, success with running as far as like making a competitive team. And then from there, started winning local events, started going to national marathons all around the country, and eventually started winning some of those and got picked up by a sponsor called Marathon Guide. And from there, got picked up by North Face. And currently I'm running for Hoka, the shoe brand, and about 20 other sponsors.
Wow.
So kind of a slow build also, similar to the trajectory in my career, but you know, something I'm really proud of. You know, I didn't come out as a collegiate runner, and you know, being able to fall back on that. So the first time I went to the track, I didn't even know what 400 meters was. Like, I didn't know that was one lap around the track. So people would be like, we're going to do 800s, you know, 6x800, and I'd be like, just tell me how many laps to run. And you know, now I know, and now I'm also a coach, and like I've, you know, been able to pick it up along the way and done all the reading and stuff necessary. But I think it's good that, you know, I didn't have that background, because so many people that I competed against early on in my career are no longer running, or they're not, you know, where they want to be. And I've always, you know, been able to keep evolving and changing and moving
forward.
Well,
that brings me to my next question. So what type of training do you do? Because I mean, ultra marathon, it's like my mind, I'm thinking he's running so much, there's no time to practice, you know? So it's like, what type of training do you do? Like strength training, or like isometrics, or yoga, or, and then what's your diet like?
Yeah, so my training is pretty varied. It depends what I'm training for. So I like to try to get specific about what I'm training for. This weekend, I'm running the USATF Cross Country National Championships. So that's about an 8 kilometer race, which is just under 5 miles by like 10 seconds or something. Like it's quite close to 5 miles. So I've been training speed work the last couple of weeks to try to get my body ready for that, especially coming off of running across the country. Like when you're running across the country, you're not trying to run fast. You're just trying to run like 12 to 15 hours a day. So you're just moving, you know, pretty slow. So I've been trying to build up my speed to match with the event that I have coming up. The training right now is this morning. Like, I did a hour strength training session with a personal trainer, physical therapist that I work with on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Other days,
I is that
spend my
like
day.
Weight training? Are you using
yeah, so that's
weights
like,
or no?
yeah,
That's not
we're using.
necessary.
No, we're using weights and body weight. If people are interested, they can go to my Instagram. I post my workouts there so they can kind of see the different various things I do. Like today we were doing like medicine ball slams, twists, side planks with weight, band workout, dumbbell rows. So like quite a big mix to hit different muscle groups. And then yesterday I did like bench press, pull-ups, box jumps, burpees. So that's usually for an hour to an hour and a half each morning. Then I usually run, play pickleball, go for a hike.
What's
so I'm
your
usually
diet
working.
Like in this? So, and then is,
yeah.
How different is your diet from training versus when you know it's race day?
I'm a vegan. So I eat primarily plant-based, actually 100% plant-based. And so it's pretty calorie dense, carbohydrates, good proteins, fats. And then on race day, it depends on the distance of the race. Like usually I wake up like 3 hours before the event, try to get in some type of fuel so that I am, you know, able to process that before the race starts. And then during the event, I'm using up to probably 50 kilometers, like 30 some miles, primarily just goo energy gels or something like that.
What is that?
And
What's
then,
an energy gel?
So it's just engineered food. So it's really easy to digest and works very instantaneously. So it's geared for hard endurance efforts. Anything over 50K, depending on how mountainous it is, I'll mix in what people say is like real food. So like avocado, hummus, almond butter, honey, those type of things, mashed potatoes
now,
or sweet
I have
potatoes.
To ask you another question about your mindset, because that having played sports in my youth myself and on the college level, there's this mental adjustment that has to go on. Now, because your events last so long, share with me like where your mind is at. And like, I think it could be easy to get lost in your body, like a cramp or something, or I got a stone in the shoe kind of thing, because you're out there so long and then the conditions change. Or what if the sole in your shoe blows off? It's like you have a lot of things to deal with that would seem minor, but if it's happening to you and you're the one running, it could feel pretty major, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that comes with experience, right? Like everything in your head is going to go great, but that's not really how it works in real life, as you probably know and allude to, right? There's going to be a problem. You're going to get some chafing. You're going to, you know, run into a tree stump. You're going to, you know, kick a rock or take a fall. And then what do you do then? And so that's where it's great to, you know, have those experiences in training. Like it's great to, you know, face discomfort. Like how are you going to run 50, 100 miles with wet shoes in cold temperatures? You know, what does that feel like and how do you get over it? And I think that's a big part of racing is, you know, you got to deal with stuff as it comes up. I think you have to have a mindset that you know, are going to try to achieve certain things, but there's going to be circumstances that change and you have to be adaptable and you have to be like water in a lot of senses. Like there's that, you know, cool Bruce Lee quote, but like, you know, be like water. But like, I feel like that's exactly how it is in an ultra marathon. Like, you know, you might break your headlamp and then, you know, you're using your iPhone to like light up the trail, or you might take
oh
a
my.
Wrong turn. And then what do you do when you've descended 1,000 feet the wrong way? And those are the things that makes these type of events super interesting and challenging. But, you just got to be ready for whatever happens.
How much
then,
of your training do you think actually took place in the actual races themselves?
I think a lot of it. I race a lot. So I think a lot of my races build on themselves. So Like, for example, this year I'm doing a race called the Hard Rock 100 Miler, which is in Silverton, Colorado, and I'm an East Coast sea level guy, so I'm gonna, have some problems with the altitude, and I think, but I'm gonna have a lot of leg speed built up from doing the Comrades Marathon about a month before that in South Africa. So like that kind of long, steady, fast training, I think, will be interesting to transition into the mountains. And then I just try to get out there as soon as I can and get the exposure that I need. And I think like the smaller races help me with leg speed and turnover, and the longer races and the longer, 100-mile, 200-mile races give me the kind of strength
Wow.
and endurance to power through the shorter distance stuff.
Now do you know how many races you've actually been in over these years?
I think it's over like 400. So I think I've done over 150 marathons and a similar
Now,
amount of ultra marathons.
you're also known for doing these marathons back to back. How do you run four marathons in, say, 5 or 7 days? How does somebody do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people know me for us having the world record for running 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents. So, like, that's something that people really seem to have taken a fascination with. And I know when I first heard about it, I just couldn't, it like blew my mind. I was like, but how can you get to, everywhere that you need to go in that amount of time? And it's quite possible. And I was lucky enough to be the, one of the fastest ones to ever do it. That being said, I think someone might break the record in this upcoming race in a couple of weeks. So that would be cool to see also. But I think the biggest thing is like I really am anxious too, and I want to do it. I think like you have to have that drive internally, and then you have to do what your body needs to get ready for the next event. So I think one of my advantages, I don't need as much sleep as other people. So I think that for me is a big factor.
How much
But
sleep do
just
you
because
get?
4 to 6 hours is plenty of sleep for me.
Wow.
So that's a little advantage. And then I feel like I'm pretty good at resting without sleeping. And so I think if you can do that and just be prepared. And then I've also done a lot of back-to-back racing. And so I think being prepared mentally for what it's going to feel like for the first like 20 or 30 minutes, like once you kind of get over that, it's kind of like getting in the pool. It's like sometimes the hardest part about getting in the pool is just getting in the pool, right? And so I feel like that sometimes the hardest part of racing back-to-back is not the fitness, but it's the mental fortitude to be like, okay, we're doing this again, and now it's time to get ready and go.
If you are listening from Australia, Florida, or just from around the corner,
from East Coast to West Coast outlets, if you're not into the dirty South straight, make a left and body, body.
Contact us. Leave your mark with your host, Vince Cortez.
How would you describe running has changed your life?
Running has changed my life in every way possible and for the better. Like it's given me direction, focus, sense of purpose, community. It's yeah, by far like the moment where I decided that I was going to run the Boston Marathon changed my life in all the best ways possible.
Now, so you do this run across the United States. You were planning on doing it in 75 days. You do it in 59. Enormous event. The media calls you Forrest Gump, and you got all this attention going on. And so, what motivated you to do that run besides the clean water aspect and your intention behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I think just to clarify, I think I was a little closer to 61 days, so
Okay.
a couple extra days. It averaged out to like 52 miles a day, and I really wanted to see if I could do it. Like I thought, like in the back of my head, like when I saw the movie Forrest Gump, like oh, it'd be so cool to do something like that. And then as I became a runner, I was like, oh man, maybe someday when my career's over or something, like that would be kind of fun to do. And then the stronger I got into running and the more I got into running, the more I was like, oh, maybe I could try for the record or something like that. And in 2020, I herniated some discs in my back, and I'd always been talking about this, but I never, it was always one of those things I was going to do at a, you know, a later time. And when I got injured pretty seriously in 2020, I was like, this is the time. Like, if I ever get healthy again, I'm going to, you know, seize the day and really make this happen and figure out how to do it. And yeah, it took a lot of logistics. It took a lot of buy-in from my family and from work and from my clients and from sponsors. And but I thought it was worth the juice was worth the squeeze, as they say. Like, yeah, you know, it was worth doing the work. And I'm so glad that, you know, I did, and I had the support to be able to do it, especially from my family. Like, it's a big thing to be gone from your wife and kids and dogs, and you know, they really stepped up. And then for our clients to be, you know, one of the people that is heavily involved in the day to day. Yeah,
I would share with me while you're running, because you're the only participant in this cross country venture, the people that were cheering you on. What were some of the things that you either heard or you felt in your experience of these people know you were running through their backyard and they were going to come out and have a peek at you? And what was that part of it like?
Oh, that part was amazing. That was actually something that I was really happy about. Like, I really wanted it to be a community based run. And so if people wanted to come out and run 1 mile, I had a guy come out who had died on the operating table, and he got healthy enough to come out and run a half mile with me in West Virginia up the side of a mountain because he was worried we were going to go too fast, to somebody that ran 104 miles with me on the last day. So I had, you know, people that ranged the whole gambit. I had people drive 13 hours to hand me a pumpkin pie because they heard that I was craving pumpkin pie. I had people that had no idea what I was doing, but like just stopped their car on the side of the road because they saw somebody that looked like they needed, you know, a bottle of water. So and then I had, you know, kind of the other part of that too, where people were, you know, swerving their cars to try to hit me and throwing food at me. And so I had a, you know, a lot of different experiences. Wow. I'd say way more good experiences and kind of great interactions than the negative ones. But yeah, it was unbelievable. And it really made me appreciate what an amazing country we have, and just a great amount of love that people have for everyone else. Like, I was really impressed with the American culture and community.
Now, with your back being the case, is that something that you could see yourself doing again, or is that just a once in a lifetime thing?
The run?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I think I'd like to, before I run across the U.S. again, I'd like to, there's a trail called the Appalachian Trail. So I want to do a big, long event on that, hopefully. The plan is for 2024, and then I'm become super interested in ocean crossing. So I'd like to do a row across the Atlantic Ocean. So,
oh wow! So you're changing it up.
Yeah. So I definitely feel like I know what it takes to run a long distance. Now I'm curious to see what it would be like. One of my dreams, like always, like since I was very little, was to run the Appalachian Mountains, especially growing up in West Virginia and Virginia. Like, the Appalachian Mountains are right out our back door. And so that's always fascinated me, but also like intimidated me, just because I know how rugged and rough they are. But I think that would be a really amazing experience. And then once I do that, like I'd love to, you know, continue to run, obviously. And I don't think I'll ever not be a runner, but I'd like to focus on trying to row across the ocean.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. Well, you brought me to the point in the podcast where we ask all our guests, how would you like to be remembered? How would you like to leave your mark?
I think I'd like to leave my mark as somebody that inspires people just to do a little more than they think they can. Like, I think so many of us get caught in the narrative of, you know, we're the person that people want us to be, and maybe that's not necessarily the person that we were self or we ourselves see us are as and I'd like for people to say like, hey, this guy's got you know, a family and a job, and he's got all the same responsibility as I do, but he still tries to do these things that light him up on side inside and really chase his dream still. And so hopefully, you know, people can see what I'm doing, and you know, they don't have to run across the country, or they don't have to run a super fast marathon or an ultra marathon, but you know, maybe it's they get inspired to take up beekeeping, or they decide they're gonna, you know, try to learn to play the guitar, or they're gonna, you know, try to do a walk every day, or you know, go for a max, you know, bench press or something. Like,
Wow.
whatever their thing is, like, I hope people decide to chase it. And if I can have some success in inspiring people to do that, that would be great. And then, you know, I'd like for my kids to, you know, be excited to still hang out with me. So like, hopefully, you know, hopefully I can leave my mark on them, and you know, they turn out to continue to be good people. Because right now it seems like everything's going really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to see, you know, where they end up.
Amazing story. Michael, that's
Thanks, man.
tremendous. I appreciate you coming by and sharing your story with us. Your internal motor is just running, and it's very inspirational. It's like you just it's just natural for you for that energy to come out. Your authentic self right there. But
Thanks,
that's
man. Yeah. I actually just posted a big list of goals for 2023. So, you know, if your audience is interested, it's my January 16th post on Instagram and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So, if they want to check out like what I'm thinking just for this year, I think that would be a good place to start.
But do you know the name of that link? Because we'll post it on the below in the description area. But if you would like to do it now, you can feel free.
Yeah, I can send it to you. It's just Mike Wardian on Instagram. So MikeWardian on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey man, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Leave Your Mark today. Tune into our next episode of Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez. Be blessed.
You just left your mark. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Listen to more episodes on demand. Just click Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez.